Okay, Romans 6 actually was given the assignment of starting in 21. So yeah, all right. Sorry, I'm jipping you out of one verse, but it's still there to go back and check later. So all right, Romans 6:21. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive. So we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Good, Andy? All right. Good morning, everyone. All right. In our lives, there are often moments that signify the end of one thing and the start of another thing. So sometimes we think of these moments as like before and after, right? So those of you currently in school, high school, college, elementary school, middle school, you know that once summer comes, hopefully, you are done with the previous grade and you don't go back to that grade again. You go on to the next thing, right? You get to move up to the next grade. Before, you were a third grader, and now you are a fourth grader. For my wife and I, this big moment, this big shift, is when we stopped living, while we were long-distance dating. This moment for my wife and I, this before and after, was when we stopped long-distance dating and living 2.5 hours away to when we started being in the same town. We were living in the same place. We stopped wondering, when am I going to see this person again? And we just started spending all of our time together. We got to live close to each other. There were no more goodbyes, no more long phone calls, no more video chats, Skype, if anyone remembers what that is, right? Everything got to be in person now. We went from before living near each other to after living near each other. And this is one of the points that the scripture is driving at, that for believers, there has been a great transition from the before to the after. Romans 6 and 7 is describing our lives before being rescued by Christ, and when we lived under sin to the flesh and under the law, that was the before, and now it's our lives after being rescued by Jesus, where we belong to him and have the Spirit. So today, as we study Romans 6 and 7, we are looking back at our life before Christ, and we celebrate what our lives are like after Christ has taken us out from under the law, given us new life with him and the Holy Spirit. All right, just a quick point of note. I'm going to refer to the law as the law of Moses. I'm going to refer to the law as the Mosaic law. I'm going to refer to the law as the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to refer to the law as the law. And they are all the same thing. I just don't want to keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. So I'm adding in some synonyms. A really high overview of the book of Romans, because we don't have time to go through the whole thing, is if you are new to God's word, the book of Romans is a letter that was written to believers in Rome. Paul is the author of the letter, and he is addressing the rising question of, can obedience to the law of Moses make a person right or good enough before God? Before Jesus came, could obedience to the law make you righteous before God? Can obeying all the laws justify you before God? And like any good preacher, Paul spends a really long time answering that question with an ultimate nope. No matter how good an effort you put forward to obey the Ten Commandments, you cannot come out on top. So, because God is aware that obedience to the law isn't going to justify you, it cannot make you righteous or make you just good enough to be acceptable, God makes a new way for us. This is all neatly summarized in 7:4. By the way, if you have a Bible, just keep it open. Keep it open to that Romans 7 passage. We're going to be looking at it a lot. This is all neatly summarized in 7:4, and just where we're going to spend most of our time. Yep. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. This morning, there are three things that God wants you to know from Romans 7, verse 4. That you have died to the law, that you belong to Christ, to bear fruit for God. So if you are a note taker this morning, point run, you can write, you have died to the law. All right. Point one, you have died to the law. To explain what that means, what it means to be dead to the law, we actually have to look back at verse 7:1 and verse 6, where we find out that before we died to the law, we were actually bound to it. Verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives?" And then again, skip down to verse 6. "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive." So I was bound, I am captive, or I was captive to the law. Our state, without Christ's intervention, is to be bound to the Mosaic laws, to be bound to the Ten Commandments. And this doesn't just apply to Jews who grew up hearing the law, who read and heard it read. In Romans 2:15, and actually, God makes it clear that the law is present on everyone's hearts. So it is the state of everyone to be captive to the law. Before Christ, you were bound to the law. Right? I think in Galatians, when Jordan was preaching on it, and so we were stuck right in that prison. We were bound to the law. Paul then uses an illustration to explain what being bound means, so that way we can really get a good understanding of it. And that's in, take a look at Romans 7, verses 2 and 3. Right? He begins to explain that we are what it means to be bound, and then he begins to talk about how we can be set free. All right, so chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. "For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she would be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive, but if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress." The law is binding on a person, or a person is bound to the law as long as they live. Right? Just like a woman is bound to the law of marriage as long as her husband is alive, but if her first husband dies, the first marriage law isn't binding anymore, and she is free to marry another man. So it's pretty straightforward so far. That sets the stage for what we read in verse 4. Likewise, that's what Paul begins with, likewise, like what I just said, you have died to the law. Okay. This part threw me for like 2 weeks, because I was expecting God's word to say something like, likewise, just like the first husband has died in my illustration, so the law has died, so you are free to belong to Jesus, because that would make sense. But that's not what God says. God says the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, is binding on a person as long as they are alive, and you have died. So that is the first way that Paul is applying his illustration. Just like marriage law only applies to the living, just like the Ten Commandments applies to a person for their righteousness as long as they are living, well, you are free from that because you died. So that begs the question, when did I die? Because I think I would have remembered that happening. When did you die? Do you remember that happening? Well, church, believers, you died 2,000 years ago. And you can find out how you died and when you died by reading the rest of Romans 7:4. So it's, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law. What does it say? Through the body of Christ. God says, you have died to the law through the body of Christ. We actually see this explained earlier in Romans chapter 6, 6 verses 3 through 5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Last week, Matt mentioned that word baptism just means to plunge, immerse, dunk, or submerge. So you could read verse 3 as, do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus were immersed into his death? Okay. Friends, beloved of the Lord, if you believe in Jesus, you have been immersed, baptized into Jesus. You died with him, you were buried with him, and you were raised with him. And that's how you were made dead to the law, through your union with Jesus. Because he died, you died. Because of your union with Jesus, his death is your death. And as God just told us, the beginning of Romans 7:1, the law is binding on a person only as long as they live. Well, because Christ died, you died, and now you are dead to the law, to the body of Christ. Okay? So one thing to celebrate from the scripture is that you are dead to the law, to the body of Christ. Actually, verse 7:6 says again, you are released from the law which held us captive. The law was holding you captive, and through Christ, you are now dead to it. The law can't demand anything from you anymore. The Ten Commandments don't hold you captive. You are no longer under the curse that you were owed because you can't perfectly obey the law. And this is really good news for us. An extra little bit, because you're dead to the law, and Bree, you can throw that up. It's because we are dead to the law, sin actually doesn't have dominion over you anymore. Just throw this one out there. Romans 6:14 says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Okay? So not only are we being free from the law, but we're actually being freed from sin having power over us. Dominion just means having influence or power over someone or something. But because you are dead to the law, a side effect of that is that sin doesn't have the same power or influence over your life anymore. That means, church, you were once bound to the law. Before Christ, you were bound to the law, and sin had a level of influence over you. Actually, Romans 7:5 spells this out again. It says, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. And what this means is very, very simple. While we were bound to the law stimulated us to want to sin more in the exact same way that some of us, when we see a sign that says, wet paint, don't touch, we go, how wet? Right? That's the exact same idea. Sometimes when we read the instructions, it just makes us want to break the instructions. We want to not to do what the instructions tell us to do. But that's not the case anymore. The law no longer stimulates us to sin anymore because we have been made dead to it. Now, after Christ, that's no longer the case. You are dead to the law. Now, you have the power of the resurrected Jesus to help you overcome sin. Okay. So, church, as we contemplate the Ten Commandments, as we contemplate Exodus 20 and the Mosaic Law, first, celebrate that through Jesus, you are dead to the law. I think it's been weeks or months since we were reading from Exodus, but I just want to remind you about what God said about his law, which is that if you obey all of his commandments, you get blessings, right? Sounds easy enough. But if you disobey or fall short of any of them, that instead of blessings, you get curses. Because there is a righteous requirement of the law that you cannot fulfill because you can't obey the Mosaic law to the level that God expects. We can't be perfect obeyers of the law, and that's the requirement. We don't obey it. We can't obey it. We couldn't obey it, not without help. So Christ comes. He does obey it. He does exactly the way that God wants it to be obeyed. And then Jesus is murdered on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins, and he takes us along with him so that when he does it, we die there too, so that we can be made dead to the law. God does what the law can't do. God condemns sin and secures righteousness for us through sending his son in the flesh. Right? So now, instead of just getting curses, we get blessings. This is God's plan to save you and release you from the law. God sends Jesus in the flesh. Jesus fulfills the righteous requirements of the law. By obeying the law the way that God wants it to be obeyed, Jesus condemns sin. He serves as our sacrifice. He dies and raises back to life. So this morning, if you are a son or daughter of God, you are now dead to the law. Christ has become your sacrifice and your righteous requirement. You have died and you have been raised up with Christ. But wait, there's more. The next thing God wants us to see is that we have been made dead to the law for a reason. All right, so let's take a look back at Romans 7, verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. All right, point number two. You have died to the law to belong to Christ. All right, so we see this in verse 4 that you have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. Church, you have died to the law, to the body of Christ, to belong to him who has been raised from the dead. Let's not be confused. The person who's been raised from the dead is Jesus. You belong to Christ now. You belong to Christ now. You don't belong to the sin. You don't belong to the law, and you don't belong to sin. You belong to Christ. I could come up with my own illustration, but Scripture already gave us one, so we're going to read Paul's illustration again from verses 2 and 4, because there's a second way that this is applied to us, right? So it says, "For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead." Okay, belonging to Christ is the second point of Paul's illustration. The first point was, you only belong to the law while alive, but the good news is you're dead now, so you're no longer under the law. And the second point is, just as the woman was freed from the law of her first marriage through the death of her husband, and is now free to remarry another, so we have been freed from our first marriage to the Mosaic law, to the Ten Commandments, so that we can belong to another, to Christ. Before, you were married to the law that required perfect obedience, and when you didn't obey, you were cursed, and now that is not the case. Now, after Christ has intervened, you have been set free from that law, so you can belong to him. So a couple things I want to take away from here. You cannot belong to both the law and to him who has been raised from the dead. There is no belonging to both. There is not, I am a child of God, and I am a daughter or son of Christ, and I have been bought with his precious blood, and yet I also try and earn my way to righteousness. Because Paul actually calls that adultery. That's not what he is destined for. For us, you cannot be bound to Jesus and be bound to the Mosaic law. God is saying it has to be one or the other. It's Jesus or the law. It can't be both. Either you try on your own to be good enough in your own power to earn God's approval and forgiveness, which turns out doesn't work that great, or you die to the law through the body of Christ and belong to him. So let's flip this around and take a look at what God isn't saying. God isn't saying, likewise, my brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you can belong to no one. So you're like free. You're just like free to go. You're like, you're good. You're good. Get out of here, right? He's not saying you have died to the law through the body of Christ so you are free to pursue your own happiness and peace. He's not saying you have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you can belong to yourself, right? And you can just kind of like work on yourself. No, you have been made dead to the law through the body of Christ for a reason, and that is so you can belong to Christ. I don't want to take the marriage illustration too far, but I think it might be helpful to sit and ponder and wonder at what it means for you to belong to Christ. Like a bride belongs to her husband, like a groom belongs to his wife, that through Christ's blood and death and resurrection, he made a way for you to be with him, to belong to him. So, church, how are you doing at being bound to Jesus and not being bound to the law? Or maybe it's better phrased, are you still trying to obey the law so that God will consider you righteous? Or are you resting in Jesus and him having fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law on your behalf? Has it been a struggle to believe that Jesus has set you free from the law? Do you feel enslaved to measure up in ways you feel inadequate? Romans 5:1 puts it this way. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it again. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We get peace with God through Jesus, not through lawful obedience, not through the Ten Commandments. So today, do you believe that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, or are you believing that you can earn your own peace with God through obedience to the law? Have you fallen into believing that somehow if you are more obedient or you're obedient enough, that you act good enough, that you can somehow earn peace? If Jesus has saved you, then you have died with him. You've been resurrected with him. So don't try and belong to Jesus and also try to earn your salvation through obedience to the law. Is peace with God something you think you're going to get through your own hard work? God is saying no. You are dead to the law because of Jesus. To belong to Jesus and all the wonderful things that come with belonging to Jesus. And one of the amazing things that comes with belonging to Jesus is we get to bear fruit for God. I'm just going to pause here for a moment. I just want to encourage you that if this morning that you really feel like you want to be made right with God, you really want peace with God, you want to escape the captivity that comes from trying to be good enough, because trying to be good enough just looks like living in a cage, according to Galatians, right? You want the stuff, do you want the stuff from before to be washed away? And do you want to belong to Jesus, the one who died for you? God has great news for you. And it is not, try really hard. The good news is not, well, then obey perfectly. The good news is, believe in him who rose again. And you can have peace with God. Believe in Jesus who is raised from the dead, and you can be right with God. Belong to Jesus, and he will make you dead to trying to be good enough. That's how the before and after happens. There is life before knowing Christ and life after. Okay. All right, last thing, point three, and we see it at the end of verse 4. Likewise, and you might have it memorized by now. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So point three is, you have died to the law to belong to Christ to bear fruit for God. You have died to the law to belong to Christ to bear fruit for God. God has made you dead to the law to belong to Christ to bear fruit for God. So when God talks about bearing fruit, he is talking about your heart and your actions, your heart attitudes to him, your heart's attitudes towards others, your actions towards him and your actions toward others. And bad fruit is exactly what it sounds like. Right? Bad heart attitudes, bad actions towards other people. God wants you to be free from the law, to belong to his son, so you can bear fruit for him. So when the people around you, friends, classmates, neighbors, brothers, sisters, parents, children, when they receive your good fruit, when they are kind of on the recipients of your good fruit, that's for God. God wants you to forgive someone instead of holding a grudge, right? That's bearing fruit for God. Teens, I know there's a lot out in the world that's wrong, and God wants you to be slow in your anger. That's bearing fruit for God, to be slow to act on your anger. Parents, God wants you to be patient with your children. When you are patient with your children, that is bearing fruit for God. God wants you to bear fruit for him, and it's nothing like the fruit that you used to be able to bear without him. So we see what sort of fruits we used to bear, looking at Romans 6:21. It says, "But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." We see it also in verse 5 of chapter 7. "For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death." Bearing fruit for death is kind of what was life was like before, and then now there's life after, right? The life after you see in chapter 6, verse 22. "Now you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." You see it in also verse 6. It's a little complicated, but it's not so obvious, but it's also there. In verse 6 it says, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." So here's why I think verse 6 fits in with our discussion of fruit. Why is suddenly talking about the Spirit the same thing as fruit? Okay. Paul will often write in, for you English literature majors out there, he'll write in an A-B-A structure, which just means he'll say one thing, he'll say something else, and then he'll repeat himself again, but use different words. And from the best that I can tell, that's what's happening here. So don't take my word for it. I want to look at it together, right? So verses 4 says, "You have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God." Topic one. And then the next verse. "For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death." Topic B. And it says, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so we can serve in the new way of the Spirit and on the old way of the written code." Back to topic A. Do you see how verse 6 mirrors what's said in verse 4? You died to the law in verse 4, and then at 6 it says that you died to that which held you captive. So the next thing that comes after that "so that" phrase is meant for us to tie what's happening in verse 4, bearing fruit, to verse 6, which says serve in the Spirit. Okay. That's why I think Scripture is saying serving in the new way of the Spirit is just a synonym for bearing fruit for God. That's why I'm including it as we talk about fruit. So, all right, so God is telling us that there is fruit that we used to bear. The before fruit, the fruit before Christ, was fruit that led to things that you were ashamed of and death, and it was fruit for death, again in verse 5. The fruit we were bearing, the fruit we bore while we were living in the flesh, it was shameful and ends in death. So when you think about your life before Christ, you can think of all the things that you did, all the ways that you tried to measure up, all the ways that you tried to act rightly. Actually, it was just leading to more death. It was just leading to nasty fruit. Shame and death is the fruit that we were bearing in our lives before Christ, if Christ had not intervened. And the best way that I can talk about gross fruit is to tell a story. Our kids eat a banana every morning. They love bananas. They eat a banana every morning. And our son, who was 5 at the time, he woke up one morning. Jim knows the story, unfortunately. Our son Luke, who was 5, he went and he picked up a banana off the counter and he opened it up and he didn't like that one very much. So he picked up a second banana and he opened that one up and he didn't like that one very much. And he opened up a third banana and he opened it up. He's like, that one's not very good. He got to a fourth banana, opened that one up. He still didn't like it. And he found a fifth banana. And he's like, this one's good enough. So then he, instead of leaving us with just a pile of bananas on the counter, he did what anyone who is kind of ashamed or embarrassed of their actions would do, and is that he hid his mess, right? He's probably feeling shame or embarrassment, or he's worried that he would get in trouble for ruining a dollar's worth of fruit. So he hides his 4 banana mess under the couch. And then our family went to the beach for a few days. And when we came home, we knew that there was something wrong because of the smell. And it still took us a few days to track down what the smell was. And that's when we finally found the 4 rotting bananas under the couch. Yeah, the little white dots are maggots, by the way. Right? Yeah! Sorry. Yeah. The picture really doesn't do justice to the smell. I had to clean that up to the texture. Or even just the clear liquid that was oozing out of the bananas. Yeah, it had turned to like vinegar. It was really gross. So I share that story. Leave it up. I share that story because I want you to understand what fruit you used to bear. This is the closest thing that I could get to. I didn't want to bring in a rotting banana. Matt told me, bring in a rotting banana. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that, right? But that is the fruit you used to bear. That's what it was like. It was just fruit that leads to death. It's just fruit that you're ashamed of. You're like, I don't want to offer anyone that fruit, right? It is just fruit that's good for throwing things away. So this horrible photo of four rotting bananas is a picture that represents how you might even feel when you sin, because our former life, right, before the law, when we were captive to the law, when we were captive to sin, this is what we were able to produce. And this is how we feel when we sin, right? This shame, the fruit that leads to shame. This is how we're meant to feel when we sin. So have you ever felt like this? Have you ever just felt the gnawing, horrible, hot shame feeling that makes you kind of want to vomit when you realize that you're not doing the things that you want to do when you are doing the things that you don't want to do? It's pretty easy to feel rotten all the way through, right? So there's good news for us, which is because this morning, that's the old fruit. That's not what our fruit looks like anymore. All right, you can take it away. Now there's new, I should have brought fresh bananas. Now there's new fruit to bear, right? I should have, just imagine I'm holding like some beautiful yellow bananas exactly the way that you like them, whether they're green or speckled or whatever. Like there's new fruit to bear. Romans 6:22 says, now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Okay, verse 4, Romans 7, likewise, my brothers, you have died to the law, to the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God. And in verse 6, you are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that way we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. The fruit we bear now is fruit for God that leads to our sanctification and eternal life and serves the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a fancy word that describes the process of believers being transformed into the image of Jesus throughout our whole life, right? So somehow, after we are made dead to the law through the body of Christ, and now that we belong to Christ, we are able to bear good fruit for God. Good fruit, not rotting fruit that leads to death, not fruit that makes you feel ashamed, not fruit that just you want to throw away, but good fruit that is shameless. Fruit that makes you feel unashamed, right? So I want to take a look at verse 6 again. It says, you've been released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So the fruit we are supposed to bear now that we belong to Christ is fruit that comes not through obeying the written code, the law, right? Not through obeying the Ten Commandments, but comes from serving in the new way of the Spirit. Fruit for God comes through the Holy Spirit. So when I say fruit, and I say, Holy Spirit, what are you thinking about? Fruits of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5. It's just another letter written by Paul to a church who is struggling to figure out how the Mosaic Law fits into their lives as believers in Jesus. So let's read Galatians 5, 18 through 23. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Pause. It's always nice when you're preaching and you preach and then you read elsewhere in Scripture and it's saying the same thing that you're saying. It's just encouraging. So if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Paul is going to mention what some of the old fruits were. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right? Those are the old fruits. So if you're trying to figure out what were the old fruits of your old life, you can look at this list and say, did I do any, was I like any of these? Did I bear fits of anger? Was I producing fruit that just led to rivalries and dissensions and to envy? All right, that's the old fruit that leads to shame and death. So friends, I just want to remind you that God created human hearts. He created your heart. He knows that we feel shame. He knows that when we think the wrong things and do the wrong stuff, that when we believe that these old fruits somehow bring us peace, when we falsely trust these things to bring us peace, God knows that that doesn't make us feel good. He knows that we don't feel good about ourselves when we do these things. But there is hope. As we read on, God's word shifts to talk about the fruits we do bear. But the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit that we now get to bear because we're dead to the law and we belong to Christ. The fruit we now bear is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay? Church, you have died to the law, the body of Christ, to belong to Christ, to bear these fruits for God. God wants you to bear these fruits. God wants your days, your hours, your moments to be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This fruit is the fruit of the Spirit that leads to your sanctification, becoming more and more into the image of Jesus. God made you dead to the law. God made you dead to sin, dead to the old way, so that you no longer bear fruits for death, like enmity, divisions, sexual immorality, envy, strife, jealousy. I don't want those old fruits anymore. And God made you dead to that law so that you can belong to Jesus. God made you dead to the law so that you are no longer captive to the law. Okay. This morning, I was telling Jim this morning that my last sermon that I did, which was just so heavy, it was just talking about enemies and just talking about like what God wants you to do when you're being oppressed and when you're being crushed. And I was like, oh, this is so heavy. And I was jealous of his sermon because his sermon was so like enthusiastic and joy-filled. And when I was tasked with this one, I didn't see how it was so filled with good news when Matt and I were picking out the scripture section. But I just want you to walk away from this celebrating what Jesus has done for you, because there is, it's full of good news. I hope you just heard good news after good news after good news, that you were before captive to the law, you were captive to sin, and because of what Jesus has done for you, you are no longer under the law, you are dead to it, and now you belong with Jesus, and that means you get to bear fruit. This morning you can celebrate that Christ has set you free from the law. The law doesn't condemn you or bind you anymore. You can celebrate that through the death of Jesus Christ, you now belong to him who has been raised from the dead. You don't belong to someone else, and you can't belong to someone else, that you belong to him. You can just celebrate that now you are free from the law. Now you belong to Christ, and now you can bear fruit for God. You couldn't bear fruit for God before, and now you can. The old fruit was death fruit. But now, after Christ, the fruit you now bear is full of the Spirit. It doesn't leave you full of shame, and it doesn't lead to your death. It leads to eternal life and your sanctification. That is the good news for today. All right. You have died to the law through the body of Christ to belong to Christ so that you can bear fruit for God. You have died to the law, friends, to belong to Christ, to bear fruit for God. All right, let's pray together. God, you are good. Jesus, you are good. And you have been so good to us that you saw us when we were captive to the law and we were producing fruit that was just good for death. It was just rotting fruit. And instead, you made a way for us through Jesus. You made a way through Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. God, you made a way for us so we can be unified with Christ. So the law doesn't have a demand on us anymore, but instead you have freed us so that we can instead belong to Jesus and we can be made righteous. We can be justified, not through our own hard work, which turns out isn't very good, but it's through Jesus, and now we're made righteous through him. So God, just fill us afresh with a love and appreciation for the things that Jesus has done in our lives. God, we pray that you would help us see Jesus as this good and glorious and mighty. That we would look at Jesus and we would be filled with just joy and appreciation for what he has done, and let that help transform us to bear fruit for you. God, we need your help to do this. God, make Jesus just so big in our hearts and minds that we don't want to run back to feeling secure if we just act good enough. God, don't let us run away from being bound to Jesus and say, well, I'm having a hard time with Jesus, so I'll just go back to just maybe being obedient. Maybe I just kind of do the Ten Commandments as best as I can. That's how I can feel good about myself. But instead, we can belong to Jesus knowing he is the one who bought us with his blood. He is the one who's united us with him. So that when he died, we died. God, thank you for Jesus. God, thank you so much for Jesus. God, help us live out the way that you want us to. God, help us bear fruit. Help us bear fruit for you. Help that fruit be shown to a world that doesn't bear good fruit. A world that's devoid of good fruit. A world that's full of striving and bitterness and envy. That is waiting to hear that Jesus has freed them from that so they can bear good fruit. God, help this church bear good fruit through the Holy Spirit in your name. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.